Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Money Life with Chuck Bentley. Chuck is the CEO of Crown Financial Ministries, and today we'll talk about what it takes to live an abundant life. You know, Chuck, the truth is that God desires that we all live an abundant life and that He wants us to experience His very best. But we often get our categories mixed up when we talk about those two terms.
That's right, Dave. We actually equate abundance with wealth or material prosperity. Mm-hmm. But that's not what it means at all, nor does it mean a happy, pain-free life. I have a friend who said that God never promised us the deluxe package, and we kind of want to assume that He did, but He never did. But living the abundant life and receiving all that God has for you requires that you live under a specific principle of Scripture, and that principle is the principle of stewardship.
You know, Chuck, I can't disagree with you, but I have to tell you, when I hear the word stewardship, that one doesn't get my engines running. It doesn't motivate me at all.
Well, it's a very misunderstood word, Dave, and it's why I want to talk about it today. And I really want to go back to some of the basics to just help people understand what is stewardship. Just this past week, Ann and I attended a teaching class before we go into our worship service, and I slipped into the back because we were a little bit late. And it was kind of fun because the people who might normally not speak up on this topic actually didn't know I was in the room. And the topic that our teacher was taking us through was the topic of money and what the Bible had to say about money. So I got to sit in our class and listen without anybody really knowing that I was there. And it was so interesting to hear everybody's perspective. In fact, this one lady spoke up and said that over 20 years ago, when she first visited that specific church, that Larry Bucquet was there, and he was teaching that Sunday about money. And she thought, well, just one more of those churches talking about money, I'm never coming back. That was her first reaction. Yeah. It was just a complete put off.
Yeah.
And then she went on to say, but after the end of his message, I felt like it was the richest Bible teaching I'd ever had, and it was transformative in our lives. And she said, but today you hardly hear the topic even taught on. In fact, at the end of the class, the conclusion was that Jesus had more to say about money than almost any other topic, but in our churches today, it's something that you don't hear about.
Yeah.
A recent survey showed that the three least talked about topics in church today are sex, money, and the end times.
Wow.
And so it's a topic that needs addressed. It's not being addressed. But today, what we want to do is to go deep on what is stewardship and how do you experience God's abundance.
Well, Chuck, we're looking forward to that program today. You're listening to Money Life with Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't to make more money. It's to learn to manage what God has already given you. And we have something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes. Crown Envelopes from Crown Financial Ministries is one of the most advanced money management systems ever. Crown Envelopes will help you easily create a home budget online and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you exactly how much you have left in any budget category. Crown Envelopes gives you access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're going to talk about just the very basic understanding of stewardship. What does it mean? What does it not mean? And how you can apply it to your life. And I know it sounds like a dry topic, as Dave said earlier in the top of the program, but I want you to stay with us because I think it really is going to address a cultural trend that I'm very concerned about. There was a church in the West, a mega church growing very, very rapidly, and they were featured in the national news a couple of years ago, and I read how they had marketed their church for growth. And they used three very simple ways to advertise the church. We have great music, the kids are going to love it, and we won't beg you for money. And those were the three things that they used to attract people in. Now, I understand why they do that. But implicit in that statement is, we're probably not even going to talk about money and probably not even going to teach you what it means to be a good steward. And so more and more this topic is getting set aside and we're not seeing it taught or even the importance of it stressed in our churches. So let's talk about what it's not. Stewardship is not a giving campaign. Most of us in our culture think about, okay, if you're going to teach stewardship, then it's going to come right back around to how much are you giving, and we got to build a new building. And so the giving cards are going to come soon after that talk. But that's not stewardship. Others of you listen and you think that we're trying to get you to be wise consumers, and that's what stewardship is. Some of you would say, well, you're a steward if you're living on a budget. Others might say, well, no, it's more than that. It's getting completely debt-free. Well, you're not being a good steward if you're a wise consumer and you're living on a budget and you're completely out of debt if you miss what the Bible says about stewardship. And for sure, it's not living the American dream. So many people think that stewardship means that I'm just going to have all the things, all the abundance that is promised in our culture. And that's not at all what it means. You're seeing the word used outside of Christian circles now. More and more people in the world who have no connection with the Lord, no interest in the things of the Lord, are saying, we're now stewarding the earth's resources. And in fact, it's gotten more popular outside the church walls as a term than it is inside the church walls. And here's another one that may surprise you. Stewardship is not acknowledging that God owns it all. Because in the bottom line, you probably thought I was going to tell you that, okay, if it's not about what I spend, it's not about my budget, it's not about debt, it's not about how much I give, then it must be just simply acknowledging that God owns it all. But we're going to go into the scripture here in just a second, and you'll see that it goes far beyond that. Because I believe that stewardship is a comprehensive approach to living your life. And it starts at the very beginning, and it doesn't end even throughout eternity. It's really God's glorious plan for how you manage your life. Lynn Miller said it this way, stewardship is ordering your life in such a way that God can spend you. Isn't that a beautiful thought? It's being sure that all of your energy and all of your decisions align so that God has complete access and control to you. Because that's what he really wants. It's not your resources that he wants. He wants you. And your resources are either going to propel you to fulfill God's purposes, or they're going to hinder you and inhibit you. I have a mentor who said, you know, his definition of stewardship was freeing the rich and poor from their poverty. Now, that'll make you think, won't it? But we can be in poverty, spiritual poverty, whether we're rich or poor. And stewardship is really, truly coming alive to who God is. And in my own life, I've kind of wrestled it down to this, that stewardship is making key life choices that demonstrate a genuine love for God. Let me say that again. Stewardship is making key life choices that demonstrate a genuine love for God. So all of the decisions you make should be based on, are they representative of a genuine love for God? And those should become a reality in every area of your life. You know, Larry Burkett, our co-founder, used to say that finances are the easiest area of your life to be a good steward in, not the hardest. So often when we talk about this subject of money, we think, oh, it's so hard, and that's a difficult area, and it's a troublesome area. Of course, Larry faced 8 years of his life with terminal cancer. And he had to make a decision of how he was going to spend every single day. And as he said, cancer reorders the priorities of your life. In the same way, when you're serious about being a steward, it will reorder the priorities of your life. You know, another way to say it is stewardship is what we believe and then how we act upon those beliefs about money. As Larry used to say, we write our autobiography with the choices we make with money. Now, that's a pretty powerful insight. Your autobiography is being written with every single financial decision. So stewardship, in my view, is purposing our lives to achieve the highest possible impact on God's kingdom. Just recently, Sir John Templeton passed away. And Templeton's philosophy was this. Life is very temporal. Do the things that will make a permanent impact. That's a stewardship view of life. That's ordering all of your decisions around making the highest possible impact. When you think about stewardship, most people go to the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents is in Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. And it's very interesting when you go through there because the Lord says that he gave each one different amounts. As you read the parable of the talents, you realize that it has nothing to do with how much you have. Listen to how the verse started. It's like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey, and the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now it says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Well, that's the parable where we get our understanding and most insights into the issue of what it means to be a good steward. Now, the amount was not the issue. Each one had a different amount. The issue in this parable is the purpose. The question that the Lord asked when he came back was, what did you do with it? Now, I tend to focus on the unfaithful servant because you sometimes learn from both examples. You learn from a good example of those who did well with the money, but you also learn from those who did very poorly with it. And we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the key points in the parable of the talent and how you can experience God's abundance as he intended for you to have. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the 4 critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about what is stewardship, and it's so misunderstood. And I really thought it was important that we just kind of back up and lay the groundwork so that we all understand what it is we're shooting for. And we've been going through the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, explaining that it's not what you spend, but stewardship is allowing God to spend you. It's ordering your life in such a way that all of your key decisions are a genuine reflection of your love for God. It's all-encompassing, and our decisions on earth impact us for eternity. And in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, there's some key points I want to look at. And the first one is, what can we learn from the unfaithful servant? Because look at what he said. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came, and he said, "Master, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Now listen to this. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." And he gave the talent back. So what did he understand? That it wasn't his talent. He knew that God owned it. He knew that God had given it to him. But he refused to use it for God's purposes. And that's why it's so important to understand that if you're going to be a steward, it's not just acknowledging God owns it all. The unfaithful servant acknowledged that. It's going further than that in being faithful to fulfill God's purposes with what he gave you. Instead of just giving the talent back, God wants you to be faithful with it. And when we talk about that word faithful, it's in the same context of marriage. Now think about it for a minute, because we tend to say, okay, I'll be a little bit faithful on that money issue. But can you imagine someone in marriage standing before their bride and saying, I pledge to be a little bit faithful to you today? Well, you couldn't get away with that. Nobody's going to let you do that because a little bit faithful doesn't count. Nobody's even interested in that. It's all the way faithful. It's 100%. And that's the same context that the Lord uses it when it comes to money, that he wants you to be totally faithful. In fact, that's why he calls us an adulterous people when we're unfaithful. In other words, it's the very same as being unfaithful to the one you've pledged to say that you love. Now, here's another point from the parable of the talents, that those who were faithful, their reward was more responsibility for all of eternity. Now, think about how much is riding on your decisions today. That's why it goes so much more than experiencing the American dream or just being out of debt. The Lord put far more at stake than just your personal peace or prosperity in this world. He's saying, if you're faithful, no matter how tough it gets, someday I'm going to put you in charge of more and more responsibility. And by the way, if I'm a father and I'm running a company, which is a better way to show love and appreciation to my son? To say, son, this company has made so much money. Here's the money. Now you run on off and have a good day. Or to say, son, we've been working together. And I'm so impressed with what you're doing. I'm so proud of you. You've done a great job for this company, and I trust you. And now I want you to take over this entire division, and I want you to run it and to grow this organization, not just to have the fruits of this organization, but the responsibility of it, because you've got what it takes. That's the same affirmation the Lord says we're living for, that someday he's going to say, you did so good during that testing period, that I want you and I to work together for all of eternity, and I want you to handle even more than you handled there on earth. This is a major, major issue to the Lord. He never underestimates how important it is to make the right decisions to demonstrate love and faithfulness to him. And then the third point in the parable of the talents, when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, he's saying you did well because you fulfilled God's purposes, not your own. Do you understand what he's saying well done about? Now, I ask people all the time if they want to hear those words when they die, and everybody all over the world says yes. Then I say, let's look at these passages, because God is going to ask you the same question that he asked these three stewards. How did you do with the money that I gave you? You know, in the class that I was in, sitting in the back of the room, we got into all this discussion about tithing and giving and what's the amount and what's the requirement and is it law and is it grace and, you know, is it gross or is it net and all this confusion. And when it boils right down to the key passage, when God said he loves a cheerful giver, because when you're a cheerful giver, What that saying is that your motive is right, that you're taking what you have and you're willing to let go of it because you love God and you want to serve his people. That's the kind of heart in a true steward that God's looking for. It's not that you're living up to the letter of the law. It's that you're living up to the spirit of the law. And you're saying, all of my decisions are centered around my genuine love for God and my desire to be faithful to fulfilling his purposes. That's why here at Money Life, we want to help you understand what stewardship really is, that all the money that you make and earn is as a result of God's goodness and kindness to you. You wouldn't have any ability to make a living if it were not for God. That's why in Deuteronomy 8, he says, never say to yourself that my hand or my power created this wealth, because it's the Lord God who gives you the ability. And then to manage it wisely, and to make great decisions so that you're free for God to spend you for his purposes. You know, when we come back, I want to tell you a story that really highlights what it means to be a steward in our modern culture. And I think it'll be very helpful to you who truly desire to be a good and faithful steward.
Well, thanks, Chuck. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. You can hear this entire broadcast again by going to crown.org. That's crown.org. We'll take a quick break, and when we return, Chuck Bentley will wrap up our discussion on stewardship. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we've been talking about what's the true meaning of stewardship, and we really tried to explain what it doesn't mean and more fully what it does mean. And there's a story that has always helped me. I used to live in Dallas, and this story is about a businessman who wanted to expand his territory in a new city just further south down in Houston. And so he hired this new salesman, told him he would pay all of his expenses. He would pay his room and board and out-of-pocket expenses to put him up for 2 weeks and see how he could do in expanding his territory in Houston. Well, he sent the guy down there. The guy checked into a very nice hotel. And he really liked it. He was extremely comfortable, thought he was well provided for, but he wanted to do some modifications. So he took some of the money he had and he started to fix up his room. He actually ordered some nicer furniture, ordered a new TV with some surround sound, actually had the walls painted of all things, ate three very nice meals a day at the hotel restaurant, even had some room service, worked out in the gym, swam in the pool. It really was such a wonderful experience that 2 weeks went by before he even knew it. He checked out, drove back to Dallas, and gave a report to his boss, and he told him that he thought he worked for one of the best companies in the world. And he said, you know, I've never been better taken care of. In fact, you've really blessed me. I would tell you, those are the two best weeks of my life, and I really, really love this company, and I can't wait to continue expanding down in Houston. And his boss said, well, I have a couple of questions. What'd you do with the money I gave you? And he said, well, you know what? You're such a benevolent, kind boss. You gave me such a great package. I fixed up my hotel room. He said, you did what? He said, yeah, I fixed up the room. I got some surround sound. I got the walls painted the colors I like. It was just wonderful. I was so comfortable. I really, really appreciate working for you. And I can't wait to do more. He said, you mean you checked out of that hotel and left everything behind in a hotel room? That's crazy. He said, but okay, I'll get past that. Did we expand our business? Did we grow the company? How did we do? And he goes, you know, I just got to tell you, it's such a blessing to work for you. That we didn't do much business. I really didn't close any new deals, but it was just great to work for you. Well, I think you get the picture, don't you? God's going to ask us the same thing. And the story isn't true, but it's actually a story we live out every day of our life, because this is our hotel room. And we're taking the resources that God provides us. He pays our room and board. And when it's all said and done, he's going to say, what did you do with it? And did we expand our kingdom? Did we fulfill my purposes? And then if you did, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Well, thanks, Chuck. You know, if you missed a portion of this broadcast today, you can always hear it again by going to crown.org. That's crown.org. And while you're there, you can also sign up for the free Money Life podcast. It's all at crown.org. Well, until next time, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff at Crown Financial Ministries, thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.